Think about that when your mothers become a little bit older and need you to maybe help do some things for them, right? Take care of them a little bit. But in the meantime, enjoy your moms today. Enjoy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. May we bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the love of our mothers, the everlasting love of our mothers, the unconditional love of our mothers, just like the unconditional love that you give us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for our mothers, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. And Kathy, I believe, is visiting with her son and son's family on this Mother's Day weekend, so we wish her best travels back and forth. As we lift up prayers this week, please remember Jill Gregory as she is recovering from that hip surgery and is back at Newmark Care Center. We keep in prayer Larry Pitts and Lon Anderson as they are dealing with cancer concerns. Betty and Jerry Donahue with the health matters they're dealing with. John Adams and Jean Booth and Jean Kimberling are at McCrite. Brianna Ralston is anticipating surgery for the removal of a tumor in lower intestines, possibly at St. Luke's on the Plaza sometime this week. Perla Mora's niece, Michelle Avaez, has a reoccurrence of cancer. We've had her on the prayer list several times before. And Linda Stevens' family, we're praying for an infant in the family named Lucy, who is having heart surgery tomorrow. Also, we keep in mind Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris Bishop, Katie Turner's cousin, Anoki Krager, the Hagen's cousin, David Brownfield, and the Pulliam's granddaughter, Madeline Pulliam, as well as others we've been keeping in prayer day by day. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you honor and praise as we worship you this Lord's Day morning, and on this special Sunday set aside to honor our mothers and the loving women who have inspired us along life's journey, we express our genuine thanks for the nurturing and compassionate souls of the many women through the centuries and in our own time, who have borne the care and responsibility of generations. Lord God, we seek your blessing for mothers and women of faith gathered here in this place of worship. We seek your abiding presence for those mothers who especially may be experiencing challenging concerns for their children and grandchildren. We seek your comfort for women who may have lost their children early or even later in life. We pray for mothers who may be estranged from their children or those whose children live great distances. And this year, we especially pray for the mothers and their children facing the trauma, displacement, and loss from the war in Ukraine and certainly in other parts of the world as well. And as each of us reflect upon our mothers, our teachers, Sunday school teachers, nursery attendants, vacation Bible school teachers, and other women of faith, who have inspired us on our journey of faith, we offer our thanks and praise for the nurturing compassion and special attention we have so graciously received by all these women who have helped shape our lives of faithfulness to you. And as we offer praise to you this and every Lord's Day, may each of us discover ways great and small in which we may honor and celebrate our mothers, living or deceased, this Mother's Day Sunday, and every day in which you bless us with breath and life. This we pray as we recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Ryan. You know, to get your fingers to work that all that twinkling this early in the morning, that's quite the skill, isn't it? Thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anne Marie Reeves Jarvis, who lived from 1832 to 1905, was a West Virginia mother of 11 children. And despite all it took to care for so many children, she was also very much concerned for the plight of the poorer children who were subjected to the very high mortality rate in West Virginia at that time. In the 1850s, Anna Jarvis organized mothers' work groups in local churches that provided care for families whose mothers were suffering from tuberculosis, provided healthy milk for children, and also procured medications for the indigent. These same mothers' work groups also cared for wounded soldiers during the Civil War, soldiers from the North as well as soldiers from the South. On the 10th of May in 1908, 3 years after the death of Anne Marie Jarvis, one of her daughters, Miss Anne Jarvis, who lived from 1864 to 1948, at her mother's hometown in Grafton, West Virginia, endeavored to honor beloved mothers like her own. And because of her tireless efforts, the thought of honoring mothers during the month of May spread throughout the country until President Woodrow Wilson declared the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day in 1914. As we have continued to express gratitude to our mothers for the last 108 years on the second Sunday in May, each and every Sunday we are also privileged to partake in the bread and the cup of remembrance of Christ's sacrifice. For we wish to express genuine gratitude to our living Lord Jesus as he paid that ultimate price that we may be blessed with the gift of life eternal. Our communion hymn this morning, number 423, "Become to Us the Living Bread," we'll sing all stanzas, please. As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Bob leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray for all the mothers of the world. May your blessings be on them and upon these emblems of wine and bread, which represent your son's broken body and spilled blood. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. A mother's abounding love can be summed up in one word: giving. Our mothers give life. Our mothers give us nurture, compassion, instruction, devotion, inspiration, and often they are the definitive person who leads their children to faith in God. As Abraham Lincoln once said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. On so many fronts, giving is the essence of what motherhood is all about. Even as our Mother Earth gives us oxygen to breathe, soil to grow, that which makes provision, and water to sustain life and cleanse. As we have been the recipients of so much giving, may we in turn be compelled to give of ourselves and our resources for the blessing of others, as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come now to give thanks to you for everything you have done for us. We are eternally grateful for the sacrifice of your Son and the promise of eternal life. We are grateful for the mothers in our life that provide care and guidance to children everywhere. We ask that you bless these tithes, gifts, and offerings and guide our use of them. May they be used to provide for the needs of those in our church, our community, and all around the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, I was making my way through a grocery store in Texas that would be kind of like the equivalent of Hy-Vee here. And I happened to notice at the checkout line there was several different men standing there in line, several of them with bunches of flowers in their hands, you know, waiting to get through the cashier. And I thought, well, that's a little unusual. They don't normally see so many men with bunches of flowers on a Saturday late afternoon, near evening. As I was walking out, I thought, wonder what on earth that could have been. You know, what's the big deal about men with a bunch of flowers? And finally dawned on me that was the Saturday before Mother's Day. So kind of like, you know, just scooting in there with a safe right at the last minute, so to speak, right? You know, I was talking to my son on the phone yesterday, and I said, Jonathan, I said, you know, tomorrow is Mother's Day. Oh, yeah. I sent a card. It might be there in today's mail. Well, Carrie didn't make it, did it? But, you know, but he did call yesterday, and I bet he'll call today, right? So, gentlemen, especially, if you haven't spoken to your mother,
better call on the phone today. You know, because the one thing that they say mothers want most for Mother's Day is what? The one and only thing, quality time. And however you can give your mother quality time, that is what counts, right? Absolutely. The stage is set for this morning's story as we look first of all at Exodus chapter 1, verses 7 through 12 and 22. The Israelites had many children and became so numerous and strong that Egypt was filled with them. And then a new king who knew nothing about Joseph became king of Egypt, and he said to his people, "These Israelites are so numerous and strong that they are a threat to us." So the Egyptians put slave drivers over them to crush their spirits with hard labor. But the more the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites, the more they increased in number, and the farther they spread throughout the land. Finally, the king issued a command to all his people, "Take every newborn Hebrew boy and throw him in the Nile, but let all the girls live." Then we get to our text for this morning in the bulletin. This is Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. During this time, a man from the tribe of Levi married a woman of his own tribe, and she bore him a son. And when she saw what a fine boy he was, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she took a basket made of reeds and covered it with tar to make it watertight. She put the baby in it and then placed it in the tall grass at the edge of the river. The baby's sister stood some distance away to see what would happen to him. The king's daughter came down to the river to bathe while her servants walked along the bank. Suddenly, she noticed the basket in the tall grass and sent a slave girl to get it. The princess opened it and saw a baby boy. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked her, "Shall I go and call a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you?" "Please do," she answered. So the girl went and brought the baby's own mother. The princess told the woman, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." And so she took the baby and nursed him. And later, when the child was old enough, she took him to the king's daughter, and she adopted him as her own son. She said to herself, "I pulled him out of the water, and so I have named him Moses," meaning in Hebrew, to pull out. May we bow our heads in prayer, please. Merciful God, on this Mother's Day Sunday, we celebrate the boundless love of our mothers, as we are also touched by the boundless love that you have for all humanity through your abiding grace and the gift of life eternal through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we contemplate the lives of most notable leaders in biblical times, few stand taller for us than who? Moses, of course. For with the guidance of God's Spirit, he led the people out of Egyptian bondage and helped initiate the covenant with God through the guidance of the law. Yet Moses, like so many other great leaders of the Hebrew faith, first owed his very salvation to the boundless love of his mother. And although we are likely familiar with this story in Exodus chapter 2, how many of us even know the name of Moses' mother? Her name is not even mentioned in this particular story in the scripture. She is the wife of a Levite named Amram. And her name only appears in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, and in Numbers chapter 26, verse 59, as she is listed as the daughter of Levi, and that she bore Amram, the sons Aaron and Moses, and also the daughter Miriam. Otherwise, this morning's story is all that we know of her.
Her name is Jochebed. In the Hebrew language, it is pronounced Jochebed. And her name means Yahweh is God, or Yahweh is glory. Glory is God, or God is glory. So again, it gets a little mixed up there with all the Hebrew context. But she is the very first person in the biblical record to have a name that actually has a divine element to it, that concept of Yahweh, very first biblical name with a godly reference. And what is significant about all of this is that through Jochebed and her husband Amram, Moses is actually born into the lineage of the priestly clan of the Hebrew people. You see, when we're watching the Charlton Heston movie, you know, about Moses, we just think of him as being Moses, you know, the guy who was snatched up out of the river. We don't think about the fact that he was actually of the Hebraic priestly clan, part of the priesthood, therefore part of the spiritual leadership of the Hebrew people. And with Mother's Day being the day set aside to celebrate and honor mothers, few biblical stories carry more weight as we contemplate the ways in which many mothers, like Jochebed, possess boundless love and willingly commit the very best of themselves and sometimes take significant risk for the benefit of their children. We often read Bible stories like they are a children's fairy tale. And because this one seems to have a happy ending, we fail to realize the great risk that was at hand for Jochebed and for her daughter Miriam and even for the unnamed Pharaoh's daughter. In biblical times, women were considered by many to be nothing more than property, easily dispensed of with the slightest displeasure, and to be caught disobeying an edict of the Pharaoh could cause the penalty of torture, banishment, and certainly also death. But for Jochebed, the welfare of her infant son was of paramount importance. The unfolding of the watchful care of the boy in the bulrushes wasn't something that was happenchance. It was likely well orchestrated and planned out by Jochebed herself. Do you see the situation? She finds out she gives birth to a boy. Oh my goodness. The law of the land says this child is to be tossed into the river. She very easily could have just tossed the baby in the river and that would have been the end of it. She said, oh boy, I got that problem solved. I get on with my life. But that's not what she does, is it? She takes the course of a 3-month context here while she hides this infant and can't let anybody know that this is a boy child. She plans a course of action. The Egyptians and their servants lived in close and very familiar quarters. The Hebrews were, after all, not only day laborers, but many were actually the servants of the Egyptian upper class. Likely, this was the case for Jochebed, as she was likely familiar with the routine comings and goings of the Pharaoh's daughter. Jochebed may well have known the nature also of the Pharaoh's daughter's heart, that the two would likely possess courage to disobey the Pharaoh's edict out of a great compassion for the Hebrews' plight. And Miriam, the daughter of Jochebed, also plays a very significant role in this plot to save Moses' life. Again, all of this was well orchestrated and planned by Jochebed. We must appreciate that all three women were willing to risk their very lives to save one infant Hebrew child who later became a great leader for the Hebrew people. For without the boundless love of these three women, there would have been no Moses story to tell. Jochebed's scheme unfolds in that very familiar story that we learned in Vacation Bible School or Sunday School, of the Hebrew child discovered in the reeds, rescued by the unnamed Pharaoh's daughter, raised through his infancy by his own Hebrew mother, and then raised as an Egyptian son to become a significant member of Pharaoh's household, who then, with God's guidance, rescues the Hebrew people from slavery. So this Mother's Day, we celebrate the boundless love of Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter, who courageously, all three, break the law of the land, render salvation to Moses, and ultimately create the pathway of freedom to the Hebrew people. And on this Mother's Day, we also celebrate the boundless love of generations of mothers who have endured and braved so much for the welfare of their children. And the reason why I like this story so much is I think it is such a parallel to the story of how Mother's Day was founded in and of itself over 100 years ago here in our nation. The woman who was being honored by one of her own daughters, was a woman who gave so selflessly for the care and welfare of children, mothers, and families whose own situations were of dire circumstances and in greater need than her own family, even though that particular mother had to care for 11 children of her own. I mean, how do you find the time? You see? And yet that's a remarkable story in and of itself, as I shared that with you during our communion meditation. But this Mother's Day, possibly you remember instances in which your mother possessed that boundless love which compelled her to sacrifice so much for your welfare. We remember and we thank the mothers who, with boundless love, have worked the 2 and 3 low-paying jobs for their children to have better opportunities. We remember and thank mothers who, with boundless love, stand up for their children when injustices exist. We remember and thank the mothers who, with boundless love, put in long hours making special clothing, uniforms, desserts for the bake sale, you name it, just to support the events that their children have been involved in, sometimes for years on end. And we remember and we thank the mothers who, with boundless love, spend many a sleepless night caring for one or several of their children in the midst of illness simply because it is the compassionate thing to do. Yes, you and I, we are grateful for our mothers whose boundless love compels them to offer so much of themselves simply for our benefit. And if your mother is still alive today, do touch base with her and say thank you. And if your mother is deceased, which is the case for many of us, we just simply offer up a word of praise and thanksgiving to God. For where would society be if it were not for our mothers who, like our loving God, are compelled to care for us so uniquely out of boundless love? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, I welcome you to come forward this morning and accept Christ in a way I know you can experience his boundless love. Maybe today is the day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's actually an insert, also that same insert in your bulletin, Love Lifted Me. You know, the song about mothers and this one are not in our hymn book, but I think they are just so special for Mother's Day, and that's why we've got that printed out. all verses, Love Lifted Me, the bulletin insert. Please stand.
Deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Soul's best songs, faithful, throbbing service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help.
Thank you so much for being in the Lord's house, and we wish you and your family a very blessed Mother's Day as the day continues to unfold. You're getting out 5 minutes early, so that gives you a chance to get to brunch before the Baptist folks do, you know? So enjoy the day. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, guide us and direct us in ways that we truly are mindful of the boundless love of those who care for us, and especially the boundless love you have for us through your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we celebrate and pray as we depart your house. Amen.